Colleagues, honorable members, officials from the FFC and the department led by Mr. Sophie, oh, the DG. Led by the DG, we are welcoming this committee meeting. We are aware that today's agenda will focus on the presentation by the FFC on the assessments that they've done and also their recommendations, because we are aware that they're making recommendations to Treasury on some of the programs of the department, so that as a committee we just consider those and see how best can they also assist maybe on our side. Then the second one will be the presentation on the first quarter report of the performance report of the department. But before we proceed, Pumla, can you indicate the appointees?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, members. Good morning, colleagues. I've got the apology from the Minister and the Deputy Minister. Thank you very much.
I think it would be good to indicate the reason.
The Minister and the Deputy Minister of Culture are attending a masterclass program for 2 weeks, and Deputy Minister Michelle, I did not request, I just received it now. She's attending a cabinet committee meeting, Deputy Minister Michelle.
Did you? When I was your man?
I must just Madam Chair, good morning.
Well, I'm sorry. The Minister is not attending any master class. The Minister is off the peak here. There is only Honorable Squatter that is attending, and Honorable Kissima is attending the Cabinet Committee. I think that has been corrected.
The Minister has a PhD or the one that will master class in going down.
Honorable members and our guests, the register will be circulating for us to indicate our presence in this meeting. Without a waste of time, can I then present this opportunity to FFC? I don't know who's leading them. Again, to introduce the people who are with us here from the departmental side, I think they are done. Over to you, FFC.
Good morning, Madam Chair. I'm the Legislature and Commissioner in the FFC. With me is colleague Dawood, my deputy Sasha Peters, Sergeant in the Tiger, next to her, and the VXT, our colleague in the
Okay. We're going to listen to the presentation. Thank you very much for the introduction.
Okay, so you need to stop?
Yes.
Okay. Just to thank for inviting us, to make the presentation, you know, on the analysis of the annual report, which we think was very clear. And particularly this year, as the Commission has adopted as a theme for our recommendations for next year's Division of Revenue recommendation on rural development and the use of intergovernmental fiscal instruments to advance rural development. So we've got great interest in the matter, and so This slide just provides an overview of the audit function of the ministry and its mandate. Now, in terms of the national development plan, we know that the three major challenges that the document identified is poverty, inequality, and unemployment. And if we look at where the major challenges reside from a spatial point of view, we find that it's largely in rural areas where you actually find a large extent of the characteristics identified in those three objectives. Now, if you look at rural share of poverty, it says while it is high, it was reported that in 2008 the rural share of poverty was 57%, but it declined from 70% in 1993. So over a period of 15 years, there's been a decline of 30% in limited income poverty over the period of time. Now, mainly what has been driving that reduction is government social grant program and expenditure, and this has really increased the boost the income of households, but also at the same time migration to urban areas. So individuals who leave rural areas and then send back remittances to families that reside in rural areas. Also, an important aspect of the livelihoods of rural households is basic services. And what we found was that there has been an increase in access, but at a slow pace spanning in urban areas. Besides poverty, there is also the issue of inequality that I've raised. And if you look at where the poorest households reside, inevitably you will find the necessity in rural areas. Also, an important socio-economic aspect is the nutrition aspect of our food. And when you look at infants and children, we actually find that many infants as well as 1 in 5 children experience stunted growth. Now, this is very important from a developmental perspective because micronutrients, malnutrition, has an impact on educational outcomes as well as labor market productivity. Besides just also being among the poorest households from a location perspective, the rural households also face more food costs than the food than urban households. In other words, the purchasing power is much less given the income that they receive through social grants and the remittances and other forms of income. Now, when you think of rural areas, one has to note, and this is especially important from a policy perspective, that there is extreme differentiation in terms of rural towns, in terms of settlement status, but also in terms of economic activity. Now, the National Development Plan identifies some important strategies for developing rural economic opportunities as well as ensuring food security. Such as job creation through land and agricultural development by promoting small-scale irrigated farming. We know that irrigated farming has the highest labor capacity, although over time this has declined largely because of mechanization. Also, at the same time, an area that the NDP has identified as important is to create security of feeding for communal farmers, especially women. And as you will see later, this is an important activity for the department over the NDP years. Also, the National Development Plan has identified investment in infrastructure and protection services. Now, if you look at the department's plans in the annual performance plan as well as its implementation over the interim period, you will find that it's trying to align what it is doing over the FTF with many of these strategies that have been identified in the interim period. Now, in 2014, Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries finalized the Agricultural Forest Action Plan that was approved by Parliament. It's a 5-year plan to implement the ATP as well as its new growth path. And it gives you the outcome Gender-specific outcomes 4 and 7, which is inclusive growth as well as the rural development. I think for the sector, a step forward to see that both the Department of Rural Development and Reform, as well as the Department of Agriculture, Forest and Fisheries, are collaborating in terms of implementing the ICA. Many of these activities overlap, and therefore, to have a joint implementation of ICA is welcome. Now, there are a number of challenges that the sector faces, which confront the department in terms of implementing its program. One of the policy objectives for land reform is to both achieve equity but also at the same time to achieve economic development by converting the land into productive assets. Now, there are a number of challenges that land reform beneficiaries face in its quest or in its ability to convert land into productive use. And some of them are access to tailored equipment and technical assistance. So while the department is addressing some of these challenges, such as access to tailored, it's important to know things like extension services, which is actually very critical for to support emerging farmers. There is a very small proportion of them in comparison to the needs that's out there. And therefore, extension services can only extend or can only go to a few or rather service only a few emerging farmers, which means that the vast majority is left without any technical assistance. Now, while there's been good progress made in developing infrastructure, there are still significant backlogs which could slow down rural development. There are also recent policy proposals such as the reopening of the land claims process, which is considered quite a substantial amount of funding to implement. Now, with the economic outlook anticipated to be lower than expected, this is going to have a negative impact on the medium-term spending plans of the department as well as its strategy to achieve ASAP goals. And then finally, there's a lack of proper coordination which actually undermines the sector outcomes. So while the department, for example, has a comprehensive rural development program, which according to its evaluation assessment by the IPPM, has contributed to implementing infrastructure in rural areas, what you actually find is that there's not a very strong linkage with the land reform program. In other words, where land reform beneficiaries are actually residing, you don't get that interaction where there's also infrastructure being developed that can actually assist land reform beneficiaries in trying to make the land commercially viable. Moving on to the departmental analysis, and this just provides an overview of the department. We know that the department has 5 main programs. Rural development, restitution, and reform are 3 largest programs which constitute 80% of the department's total budget in 2015-16. There are also 3 entities under the department, the Agricultural Land Holding Account, the KZN Ikonyama Trust Board, and then the Registration of these Trading Accounts. Now, just in terms of the department's budget and programs, what we've basically done is we've looked at the 2014-15 financial year, but we also provided a historical period for 3 years back, as well as a forward estimate of 3 years forward, so that the committee members can see projections over time and how things have changed over time. And what we noticed is that for the period of 2013-14 to 2015-16, more or less 3 years, there's actually been a real decline in the department's budget. And one would have expected that these cuts would come from administration, given the fact that the idea of cost containment is to really reduce areas that are not core areas for departments. But we actually find cuts is actually in the restitution program, as the restitution program intervened. And however, this has been corrected over the years. In fact, in 2015-16, there's a 7.6% increase for the restitution program, which addresses speed up the land claims process. Now, historically, the department has had challenges in terms of fast-tracking the finalization of land claims, and the department is trying to put in place measures in order to address or speed up the process. Other key activities over the HS period are the establishment of the Office of the Valuer General. That's been established in terms of the research academic and past department, and also the implementation of the Spatial Planning and Land Use Management Act, and we've mentioned the reopening of the Spatial Planning. When you look at the value proposition across programs, in other words, what percentage of each program comprises the total budget, we find that for the PSVT and the PSVT between 2017 and 2018, an interesting picture emerges. First, we find that the rural development institution land reform, as we mentioned earlier, constitutes 80% of the budget. But also, if you look at the trend over time, rural development program has actually more than doubled over the period. Whereas the other two service delivery areas, distribution has remained always the same, and land reform has declined from 41% to 27%. So the increase in rural development really seen as, if you like, the trade of, if you want to look at where the trade has been made, that's been made on land reform, and also the distribution has more or less remained. With respect to the economic classification, in other words, the line items expenditure for the department, over the 7-year period that we're looking at, we see that services and taxes are significant and is expected to grow by the annual average of 6% over the entire period. And this is largely households in respect of restitution claims. Also, as a result of cost containment measures, growth in goods and services slowed down to 2.1% per annum, and savings of capital assets are projected to decline by 2.2% over the 18th period. So, more or less in line with the government's overall idea of cutting in areas that are non-core and maintaining expenditure in areas that are service delivery programs. Compensation of employees is expected to slow steadily over the issues period, and this is also with respect to cabinet and food reduction. Just going into the three main programs and to look a little bit at how the expenditure trends vary over the period of time for each of the three main programs. The first one is rural development, which we see as more than doubled over the period that we are considering. And the main sub-program for the, under this particular program is the rural infrastructure development. And we did mention that the infrastructure in rural areas is one of the main strategies that have been identified for the National Development Plan. So this is more or less in line with that. The one thing that the evaluation reiterated by was that there needs to be closer working between this particular program and as well as the land reform program. With respect to the restitution program, there were significant reductions in overall growth as we highlighted in one of the early slides. And there was reprioritization to the rural development program as well as the National Geographic Management Services program. However, over the FGS period, we see that there's a significant growth. In fact, in 2015, 16, 16, 17 has grown by 18.7%. Part of this increase is to make provision for 353 restitution land claims that are currently under litigation. There's a possibility that some of these land claim court rulings could be in favor of claimants in some of the cases. And this responds directly to a comment that the AG made in its annual report in 2013-14 as one of the contingent liabilities that the department needs to make provision for. There's also a strong historical growth. There's also strong historical growth in the national and regional offices, and this is to speed up the financing claims of the distribution program. Moving on to the land reform program, we see that the largest hub program under the land reform program is the agricultural land holding account, which consumes over half of the total spending of the program. Now, the program is largely responsible for buying and holding land suitable for beneficiaries, and it is identified and is used for the recapitalization, development, and land acquisition program. There is also the Office of the Value Chamber, which is a new sub-program that is released this year, and its main focus is really on providing land valuation of land, earmarked for land reform and land institutions for our purposes. In the past, the department felt that it was purchasing land at prohibitive prices, which was actually slowing down the transfer of land to land beneficiaries. And by implementing or establishing such an office, one could get a much clearer perspective of the value of the land that the department is trying to purchase. Looking at actual expenditure for quarter one, and this is for the period 2012-2016, we note that for 2015-16, the department has spent 15% of its total budget. And when we compare that to three previous years, it is lower than all three previous years. And the department will obviously speak more about the reasons for that, but one would most likely say that when you look at the outputs of the department, you also find a concomitant lower than expected for achievement in terms of those particular outputs of the department. Moving on to the expenditure outcomes for program for the period 2012-2014, and this is in terms of the latest annual report which is available. We see that spending has been quite good from the department. In fact, they spent fully utilized the funds that have been appropriated over the 2 years that we have observed here. And in 2012-2019, compared to 2014, where the full budget was spent. But here, I would just like to point out that in addition to spending on funds, what is quite critical is also the effectiveness of which funds are being spent. And here we need to also assess the quality of spending and whether it's important to achieving maximum outcomes from the available resources. Moving on to the performance indicators for 2013-14, which is according to the latest annual report, for the five programs, and also for the department as a whole. What we see is that the department achieved 63% of all its targets in 2014, but achieved or overachieved 63% of its targets. Interestingly, the rules in balance that 63% of the targets were overachieved, and the institution land reform was also overachievement of targets, which could explain why the department still goes 90% of this budget. Now, with respect to the formulation of these performance indicators, we know that the AG now has also audit the performance information to assess the reliability and usefulness of the performance information. And in 2014, the auditor generals found no material findings to respect to the performance information, which suggests that the indicators are well formulated and meet the SMART principles. One of the areas that stood out was that in 2014,
for the department, fiscal 220 land claims and 292 of finance under the restitution program. Now, if you look at the South of the Chief, you look at the South of the Chief compared to the target that was set, the department actually exceeded the target that the squad was set. But what is missing is any mention of backlog in land claims that still needs to be addressed. So the department set still 270 land claims, but how much must still be achieved? And I think this will give us a very good picture. This will be critical from an oversight perspective, so that we are able to keep track of progress and shifting over there. Now, for the 2030-40 financial year, we've got to receive an unqualified audit with the emphasis of matters. And some of the areas that the AGA identified was that there was no provision for potential commitment in financial statements. Early on, we did see that this area is being addressed in the 2015-16 budget. Also, internal audit has not established efficient controls to comply with treasury regulations, and in this respect, your issues relating to this in terms of preparing financial statements and performance not yet fully addressed. And also, at the same at the 31st of March 2014, there were 20 cases relating to allegations of irregularities that were under investigation by the internal audit, while 40 cases under investigation by the special investigation team. Now, moving on to the public entities that are under the control of the department, the Agricultural Land Holding Trust was established in 2009. And its objective is to purchase strategically located land to further land redistribution process. Now, the county receives an annual transfer from the department, but is administered wholly by the department. The KwaZulu-Natal Hotel in Konyama Trust Board is manages communal land on behalf of communities and receives annual transfer to augment its operation expenditure. And then finally, the registration deal trading account is the third public entity that is under the department. And this entity contributes to land planning, land and property administration, also receives transfer for augmenting operational activities. Now, this is terms of looking at some of the audit outcomes relating to the entity. Firstly, in 2014, 14.5 million. And it was not the first agricultural land holding trust. In fact, in
which place?
Excuse me. Mine holds the front as slide page 50. So, publications. Then public entities are cultural land holding trust. I shouldn't have anything in money.
No, there are 15 pages.
So all I have 15 pages.
Mm-hmm. The one that is presenting is page 12.
Okay.
Yeah, the one that is presenting is page 12. But there are 15 pages. You can continue. Can you continue the presentation?
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. The Agricultural Land Holding Trust received 40.5 million in 2014. It is full allocation. In terms of the audit outcomes expressed by the AG, firstly, the audit committee in the financial year expressed concerns related to the identification of beneficiaries and the control of activities. Now, if you look at the number of households that qualify for the land reform project, it's much greater, much larger the land grant. So the main issue here that is being flagged is on what basis is the land grant being allocated, and what oversight mechanisms are there that we can identify who is actually benefiting from the public land grant. In terms of the AG's opinion, I can see an unqualified opinion, but raised this incident matter with respect to the payment of receivables and found deficiencies in internal controls. They were also forensic audited that is being investigated. AG cases of alleged irregularities at the time. The KwaZulu-Natal Ikonyano Trust Board received a transfer from the departments of 241 to 242 million rand in 13, 14, 14, 15. It received a qualified opinion from the AG, and some of the main reasons identified by the AG were implementation of controls over the preparation, review, and the reconciliation of the financial statements, as well as material misstatements in the annual financial statements which were not created by management at the time. The registration fees trade account received a transfer of 1.697 budget rand from the department. It received an unqualified opinion, but the instances of but received instances of matter specifically with respect to deficiencies in internal controls. Procurement processes did not comply with national safety regulations, and the accounting officer did not take effective steps to avoid irregular footprints and waste information. And finally, Chief Justice, just to move on to some concluding remarks. When we look at the department's annual performance plan, we can see that we are fully equipped in terms of addressing future challenges that we are identifying, such as coordination between the different spheres and different sectors. Also, to recognize that there needs to be better coordination between the different programs in the department as well. Area-based planning with respect to these committees that are land committees that are being established, infrastructure as well as access to credit. But what is quite important is to assist to what extent of these interventions are actually leading to positive impact on the rural outcomes. So we, while we track outputs and what the department delivers, we also need to see to what extent of these outputs delivering on the overall outcomes for the rural areas as well. Now, one of the underlying assumptions that one picks up when one goes through the agriculture plan and the programs of the department is that there's a belief that job creation will be kick-started through the agricultural sector. However, and that this is a tool of work for rural development. Now, this notion of rural economy, of the rural economy may not be consistent with the reality on the ground. I think one needs to perhaps acknowledge the extent of agriculture as a sector in terms of what it can contribute. And there needs to be a movement towards a more multi-sectoral approach that could be more effective for the sector as a whole. For improved coordination, different goals of departments of rural development and gaps, as well as other sector departments in the rural space, also needs to be clarified. We see that the departments the scope of the department has increased over time. So not only is the department responsible for land administration, it also takes responsibility for food security interventions, infrastructure, as well as to some extent agricultural things, agri-crops. And I think one needs to say to what extent is the department really able to achieve on all of these outcomes effectively for all the external creators that are taking place, which perhaps is taking away from the focus that should be on land reform or land administration as well. In terms of area-based plan, there's been the establishment of these specific land committees, which is consistent with the idea of differentiation of the rules spectrum which has been identified by the National Development Plan. But even it's unclear how these land committees will operate and whether municipalities will form part of the public structure. And at this point, I'd just like to hand over to Commissioner Sackler to the final point.
Thank you.
you very much for the presentation. Honorable members who have been listening to the presentation, can you comment? Ask the clarity question. Honorable Susanna, Honorable Chavelin, Honorable Mgoni. Honorable Mgita, you're welcome. Was sorry for starting before you arrived.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, thanks for the comprehensive presentation. It gives us a broad understanding of how the expenditure of health and, met in health. Just a couple of questions. This is directed to the department. Because I believe what you do is just to take effect and then synthesize it. The decrease that is spoken of under the title background from 70% in 1993 to 57% in 2008, I think a relevant question here would be the one that says, has this decrease persisted? 2008 is some 6-7 years away. As it persisted as far as in fact through the department of saying why is that this decrease has persisted? Why is that the case? And to the commission my question would be, has it persisted here today? So I'll be expecting a response from the two institutions. Now when I'm going to speak of the weak link between CRD program, comprehensive rural development program, and the land reform. In your opinion, what has caused this weak link to the department? How do you propose correcting this deficiency? Because obviously it's got an impact. And on slide 8 or page 8, this plan of only 15%, which, as you correctly pointed out, that is in the first quarter as compared with the other first quarters of the other years. What caused that? And then the second last question is on page 10. The controls, the weak controls, the aspects related by the Auditor General. I think it's a third bullet point. General Audit has not established sufficient controls. Why is that so? And how do you propose correcting that? And then the last one, so the page refers to page 12, and concluding remarks. Second point. Does the department know that in this remark that has been made, that just focusing on agricultural related issues, now that we've got this comment that it's not going to be helpful in the broader scheme of things, does the department now intend changing its implementation policies of the agri-parks? I know that when the concept was presented to us a couple of months back, my remark to the minister was that we should be multi-sectoral and not just focus on agriculture. Let's bring in, other sectors in order to maximize the return on investment. Given this formal, comment by a respected institution, do you now intend making plans to change your implementation policies of the agri-parks? Thank you, Chair.
Another one, Chair. Go ahead, Dr. Another one, Member. The second presentation, the department is going to explain its performance vis-à-vis the spending. So there was a question that has been asked by Honorable Fritan. I think the presentation will address that. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair.
Thanks, Chair President. If I'm not making any mistake, in this term, we're meeting the FSC for the first time.
Yeah.
If I'm not making any mistake. So I would like to know what is the relationship between them and evaluation and monitoring. And that their findings and recommendations, how binding are they to the department? And that's the relationship, what kind of relationship is it? In terms of the presentation, I had been talking about financial deficiencies in financial control. When you talk about the volume of trust and others, what does that mean? What does that entail? And what are the implications for that? If there are deficiencies in financial control, can I just buy my groceries for home and then send the food to the volume of trust? What does it really mean, these controls? And if there are deficiencies, what are those deficiencies? The other thing I'd like to know is, are we, because you know, as Parliament, we pass the budget of the department, and it's our responsibility to meet how that budget is used. And I take it from your presentation that part of what we do is even to help us to do our work more efficiently with the support and you. Are we getting value for our money? Thank you.
Honorable Ngoni, will be followed by Honorable Mazarin.
Thank you very much, Chair, and I join colleagues to welcome the FFC whom we meet for the first time. And to say that it would be nice to meet them alongside the Auditor General and in so far as the sum of the scope. But I'm very clear about the attitude on this. I increase that under social it should be a risk distribution commission, the FFC, which has to make sure that how do we reach out to the world health and children from the richer areas. Then the one chair I would have raised as the first point is what you say the department will cover. But I'm referring it cautiously to the FFC in the sense that is FFC chapter 9 or 10? 10.
Yeah.
Okay, whatever.
Before actually part the management report and your group was there, and sorry, in fact our chair is the chairperson of the chapter 9 institutions committee or joint
I appreciate the humility of the FFC. They didn't come with strong take it or leave it thing and go to the media and make findings and, you know, charge that the portfolio committee of parliament may not not do what they have said and so forth. But that they have opened our eyes to just some issues. And my issue there is that 16% of the expenditure of the department here actually. And when the department answers, definitely I'll be making a point on it, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. But now I'm raising it under FSC because knowing how some of these institutions conduct themselves, I'm clear what I stand on this. I hope to everyone also. they could have made lots of noise on this and made clear recommendations, committee fly with this, go conference and so forth, and say that as committee of parliament they are not close with our concrete finding and so forth. That's the first point, so far as it affects the FSC. I do want to appreciate the humility with which they raise in issues where there are areas of improvement. But the other extreme is Commissioner Tuyuche. If they become a goody-goody thing, no. Yeah, I think they're going slowly as it, right? You know, and become completely, you know, there must be a healthy tension when you sit there, Commissioner and the PG or Minister is sitting there, healthy tension. You know, healthy tension, but yeah, we're going in the same direction, but a healthy one, not some of the current ones I've seen somewhere. The next issue, Chair, is a contextual issue. I'm trying to contextualize. Some of you allude to the food basket for rural areas being more expensive than urban areas. Having seen Parliament for over a year now, I would think that all parties would agree that that's a problem area. That's a problem area. The rural people, despite the historical disadvantage, neglect, underdevelopment, must still pay more. It's as if they subsidize the urban people, you know. And that's your finding. And thank you for opening our eyes to that. But being a redistribution commission from where I sit, yourselves, are you doing now? It's inward. It's looking at the FSC now. Are you doing something to alleviate that problem? You know, I do know. In my other life, we used to argue a lot about a costed norms approach. Now I'm a politician. I don't know administrative jargon, but that much I like the costed norms approach. That could mean that cross subsidizing the rural from the joint fiscal, your FSC, very respectable strategic body. So my issue was that I was struck by a statement that the rural pay more for the food basket than the urban. It's not a neutral thing, it is from a professional point of view, but from us who sit this side, it should strike us. Chair, in the days, still on that point, just trying to contextualize, I think yesterday or the day before, it ran the news that South Africa is second most unequal society in the world. South Africa is second most unequal society in the world. And part of this inequality lies in this rural urban divide, you know. And if you're not doing anything about it, I depend on your response on that, are you perpetuating the status quo, the old order? The status quo is basically the old order. That's the status quo. Yeah. And the last one, Shane, is on the honor of Pigdane alludes to, and I can see already there's going to be nice consensus in Parliament in debate on this one. In the concluding remarks where the FSC argues that we may not merely focus on agricultural solutions to the rural and other development, that you talk about open, quote unquote, the multisectoral approach which could be more effective. And I cannot agree more. I cannot agree more. You cannot say we will turn all universities to universities of agriculture. As if there will be no other discipline to exist. So for rural people, it's important. So I'm just supporting that point, Chair. I'll end with that.
Another question? Then we'll get the response from both the department and the FSC.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. So let me join my colleagues by welcoming the presentation of the FSC. My clarity is very brief, Chair. It is to check the Commission's presentation whether they commented about the utilization of consultants at the department. And secondly, for rural youth, not affected that much, and here is that the cabinet also reduced the budget for the maybe I'll support it to you, I don't know. Thank you very much.
Over to the question.
Thank you, honourable members, for the questions. I think let's start off with the Commission on Redistribution. I think it is absolutely correct because what we there's a lot of money, and we would like to have a fair share. Now that pot is fairly shared among the spheres of government and amongst the provinces and amongst the local authorities. And as we, as I said, our focus now this year is actually to see what share is really going to rural development and whether it is fair. So we're questioning that the distribution and actually analyzing so that we can make proper recommendations to Parliament to eventually decide on the Division of Revenue Act. Now the relationship of the FSC with Parliament. Obviously, we make recommendations on the Division of Revenue Act, the bill, and it's a long process. It takes a year before the bill is even processed. But more recently, we've been asked by a number of portfolio committees to do an analysis of the portfolios or the partners' annual report and given vote. Now, we can't be an expert in all the portfolio committees in the area and all departments, but we try to provide a financial economic analysis of spending patterns, of matters that we see where we are involved in with regard to spending patterns in departments, how they are affected through conditional grants, and so forth. So, in this role that we play, we, and it's the conception of the FSC, is that we are a partner with government. And that is what the honourable member was alluding to, but we're not only a partner. General Manuel, way back, I think at the 5th anniversary of what the Commission said, the FSC is a partner and a conscience of government. And that's the under the tension that I think must exist, otherwise we won't know that. If we couldn't simply agree with everything, we might as well close down because we have to add that. And we think with a critical approach that we can add that value, but we do it in a partnership manner. And so there were times that we would point out be critical, but this is also the task of an independent institution from the Constitution. We're not Section 9, although we group within in terms of management, but we belong to Chapter 11 of the Constitution, and they are independent and very similar to those of the other Chapter 9 institutions. Can I then ask my colleague here, Dawood, to answer some specific questions that were raised in the presentation?
I will just go through some of the questions that have been raised by the members. Some of them have been addressed to the departments, and I also indicate other questions that were related to us that could possibly be better answered by the departments. There was a question by a member about the decline in poverty and whether this has been persistent in recent times. In terms of the data that I've seen, there has been a decline in poverty. I can't give you the economic recession kicked in, global economic recession kicked in 2010-2008. In fact, some people call it economic depression because of the massive impact it has had globally as well as in South Africa, where we shed massive jobs over a period of time. And this has impacted on government fiscal. We know that we in the process of fiscal consolidation, government's debt to GDP has climbed considerably, and it's also been a process of belt tightening, where the growth of departmental budgets has declined over time. There's still a real growth in most department budgets, but the growth is much lower. In some cases, it's actually declined in the old terms, as we've seen for departmental developments. And does it impact it on the progress and the speed with which government is implementing its programs? So while poverty has declined, the extent of the decline is not as significant, one could say, as previously. And over the medium term, one could see a situation where the funds and resources that we have available is actually used in a much more effective way, so that what we were able to do in the past year, we can carry on doing, but utilizing the resources in a much more strategic and effective way than we've used before. And I think an important issue here is actually coordinating areas of commonality among governments, so that we can actually multiple returns on the resources available. There was also a question about the weak linkage between the comprehensive rural development and the landing form program, what caused it. I can only guess because I don't have that information available, but in order for there to be a strong link, one would need to know where exactly are the landing form beneficiaries located, and then take an area-based approach whereby infrastructure plans are actually developed in such a way that actually takes into consideration the land reform of beneficiaries. And I think what one would expect to see if there was a strong linkage was at the institutional and at the implementation level, a strong integration of the two programs. And that's something that the DG can perhaps speak about more in his presentation. There was also the issue of deficiencies in internal controls for Eastern what are these deficiencies and what does that mean? This is an issue that was raised by the AG, and I think the department would be in a better position to provide more information with respect to that. Are we getting value for money? Well, that's basically the crux of the issue. If we want to achieve better outcomes, we're not going to achieve better outcomes over the MPC by getting more resources from government. In fact, the economic outlook is likely to be with us. The negative economic outlook is likely to be with us for at least the next 5 to 6 years. And the department's budget is not going to radically increase. So we obviously we need to make sure that we're more effective with what we've got. In terms of the land reform program, this has been a major challenge for the department. And I think part of it is perhaps from a policy perspective, to get clarity in terms of whether land reform is for equity objectives or for economic development or for both, or how do we prioritize the two. Because at present, the economic development objectives may be compromised in a way. And we've identified that in our presentation some of those constraints that are actually hampering the conversion of land into productive assets. But the department has also started implementing measures such as improving access to credit that is trying to assist. But there are some gaps and also blind spots such as expression services, technical services that need to be cut to improve performance on the energy form.
Can I just add something, Chairperson? Was the question of this multi-sectoral approach to the rural development, we do a presentation to the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, and also analyzing the report, the annual report of the department. And in that part of it, you find no mention is made of land reform, which means it's a clearly major impact on agriculture. And again, here is the level of cooperation between the major departments, between COCTA, CAF, and this department, where the working knowledge in the same area, but one of the linkages coordination between these departments and what role Parliament actually can play to make sure that they need stronger linkages next week. Obviously, there are clusters within the cabinet system, but when we see here in Parliament, often that's not material.
Did you?
Thank you, Madam Chair. There are a few questions perhaps that we'll try to respond to. I think the question on the persistence of poverty, unemployment, I think there are quite a number of these. In the current economic climate, despite various government interventions, we have not seen a massive increase in jobs over the last 5 years. The major strategy that has assisted rural people a lot in fending off hunger has been the government social security intervention, including social grants. So we'll come back to the role of land reform, rural development and agriculture in responding to the challenges. So I just thought that broadly we needed to make that reflection that there are certain challenges. I think perhaps the most reliable information around these issues will that come from an institution like SSA, who could give an authoritative number about whether or not there has been improvements in the quality of life of people living in rural areas since the noted decline in poverty up until 2008. Chair, the reason for understanding is deal with that on the presentation. Now, there is an assertion in the presentation of the Commission that says that agriculture is not going to be a silver bullet. Indeed, there has never been such a view that says that all the challenges and problems faced by people living in rural areas are going to be resolved by agriculture. I think to have a proper perspective on what is it that government is looking, is doing in addressing the issues of poverty, inequality, and unemployment. Rural development and land reform is just but one of the many, many role players within national government that are playing a role in the rural space. The Department of Transport has got more money than the Department of Rural Development allocated to it. A lot of that money goes into building massive infrastructure. Part of that infrastructure is rail, it's the port, it's the harbour, it's the road. You've got the Department of Public Works with the EPWP. You have got the Department of Small Business that is looking at small business enterprises, looking at rural enterprises. The list goes on. So the solution to the challenges facing rural people do not lie only or solely on the intervention of the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, nor the Department of Agriculture. And I would therefore submit that to have a better perspective of the government response to these challenges, it will be useful to look at all the 14 outcomes. There are 14 outcomes, each of them largely informed by the various chapters of the National Development Plan. Now, there is the outcome number 4, which is about economic growth. It is led by various economic departments, including in the main Department of Trade and Industry, that is leading the implementation of various government economic strategies, including the new growth path, and most recently the 9-point plan that was announced by the President in the State of the Nation address. So economic departments are responsible for focusing on that space to make sure that the economy grows, so that the economy can create jobs, so that necessary levers are applied by the state, so that there could be growth in the economy, so that that growth can be shared broadly and it could be inclusive. The focus of the strategic plan of the Department of Rural Development, I'm not sure if the FFC looked at the strategic plan, for instance, of the department that was tabled this year, the 2020 strategic plan that was tabled by the Department of Rural Development in this house this year is premised on Chapter 6 of the National Development Plan that identifies 6 strategic areas of intervention. Land reform being one of them, speeding up land reform being one of them, addressing spatial inequality, spatial inequality across the country, focuses on infrastructure, it focuses on social, economic infrastructure, education, health, and so on. It focuses on rural enterprises. That is the area, that is what defines chapter 6, that is what is in chapter 6, that is what defines the medium-term strategic framework that the department has developed, which informs the strategic plan. That is the response. Other departments will respond into other areas. Chapter 6, as the FFC has said correctly in their presentation, that massive infrastructure investment is one that is going to unlock growth. There is a completely different outcome on infrastructure. It is led by Minister Nkwinti, but it's very much linked to the PICC. It is not a function of the Department of Rural Development. Other departments, infrastructure departments such as the Department of Transport, the Department of Public Enterprises, and a whole host of other departments, including state-owned entities such as Transnet, Prasa, and you name all of them. So there are quite a number of interventions that are aimed at addressing poverty, inequality, and unemployment in rural areas. It is not related to the department's strategic plan. I think that perspective will help. But Chairperson, what would be even more helpful is that if the Minister of Finance announces that in 2016, government is going to allocate a budget of 1.3 trillion. Having the FSC and this honorable committee members here, what would be very interesting is, of that 1.3 trillion rand, how much of that goes into rural areas? Where, in which department, and what are those programs? That is the fundamental question. That is the fundamental question. You must look at the percentage of the budget allocated nationally, percentage of that which is allocated to the department, vis-a-vis what is allocated elsewhere. So I think it's going to be very, very interesting. It will be very interesting to see that global picture. Who sits with the rest of the money allocated for rural development or for development of rural areas? What are they doing with it and where? So that we can be able to then measure impact within the total depth of global perspective. Chair, let me quickly move on to the very specific question. The weak link. Part of the problem of this weak link, Chair, comes from the fact that the department was established in 2009, and in the same year we came up with a comprehensive rural development program. As we started the first 2 years of implementing the comprehensive rural development program and pilot in various sites across the country. Obviously, with the comprehensive rural development program being new, it almost ran parallel to the old programs such as your land redistribution, your land restitution. It took a while to force the convergence of these programs. The rest of the programs of the department, ideally, all of them, should be hanging on the comprehensive rural development program. The comprehensive rural development program should be the overarching program of the department on which land restitution hangs, on which land redistribution hangs, on which recapitalization, spatial planning, and land use management, and so on and so on. That is the idea. Those are some of the weaknesses that were identified by the independent evaluation conducted by the Department of Planning, Performance, and Evaluation. On the weaknesses in the internal control environment, Madam Chair, those were identified by the AG in the various annual reports, and I think in about a month, Madam Chair, we're going to be tabling the annual reports for 2014-15. So what would be interesting is whether the internal control weaknesses identified by the FSC in the last three financial years have repeated themselves during the financial year 2014-15. That would be a very interesting comparison. If I were to respond now without you having the document of the annual report, I would be speculating. I would rather compare what is audited versus what is audited. The examples used by the FSC here were the period where they were audited financial statements, and I'm saying in the next few weeks we'll be tabling the 2014-15 annual report, and that comparison will be useful to conduct at that time. Thank you.
Thank you very much, DG. There was a question on the utilization of consultants. I think it was based to the FSC and also the NARICEC one. Then the other one was on FSC the relationship that FSC has with the Department of Performance and Monitoring and Evaluation. And also, to what extent are the recommendations of the FSC binding? Those were the outstanding questions that were directed to FSC.
Once you say that this rural urban anomaly in terms of the, for example, food basket price, therefore, what are you doing about it being yourself? Because the department cannot do much, but it's yourselves who recommend treating them. Unless if I missed the report, but I think it was quite a profound one from where I sit. Yeah. Are you allowing the state of court to run and win and then South Africa is the second most unequal society?
It's not only food baskets. I took it, you raised it as an example. I know even building a house, one brick will cost this much in urban and will cost double in rural. So it's not only the basket.
No, I think it's the basket of things which are provided in the project.
Thank you.
The question obviously is, we are an advisory body, and all we can do is provide advice to Parliament in terms of the Constitution and advice to the Minister of Finance and all provincial legislatures, and we visit every provincial legislature. But our mandate is then to give advice precisely to deal with inequality and how do you redistribute money. But our instruments are limited. What can we advise on? We must advise on the division of revenue in terms of which provinces get their equitable share, in terms of which municipalities get their equitable share. And then we make formal recommendations on that. We also make recommendations on the use in which conditional grants are made and whether they are effective, whether they are productive, what are the uptake. So these are the limits. The only thing that we would have an influence over is really the intergovernmental fiscal instruments. That is transfers that take place between the various levels of government and, in a sense, some service here which we can advise the committee on spending patterns and analysis of work done by the partners. Now, we are very much concerned about this inequality, and this is precisely why the Commission formally adopted a research program for our next set of recommendations, precisely to look at rural development and why there is inequality. We want to look at, for example, where is the Department of Public Works, where is the EWP, the workers, employed.
Yeah.
Do they work in rural areas or is it an urban phenomenon? Where are the infrastructure schemes taking place? Is there a bias against throwing the cities, neglect of the rural area? These are the factual questions that we need to address. And in terms So obviously we start off with rural developments this year, then we move on to urban and peri-urban areas. And the peri-urban areas are increasingly important because this is the halfway house between rural and urban. So we have to look at any totality, the in-migration to the city going on dramatically. What happens there? Can you turn the tide? Can you turn the tide on the decrease in jobs in the rural areas in terms of agriculture? These are the questions that we hope to come up with a very comprehensive set of recommendations or findings first and then recommendations that follow on that. Trying to tackle some of the big questions that you're asking.
The
yeah, just with respect to the two questions that were raised by the member, with respect to the consulting, historically the department made significant use of consultants for a number of reasons. What we see happening in 2015-16 and over the MTA period is a decline in the use of consultants. And the reprioritization of the funding to compensation of employees. Now, if the reason for that is that the department is using the fact of full capacity, then it's a good thing because what it means is that what used to be done by the consultants are now being implemented by the department itself, which will decrease the expenditure of the department over the next year. Now, the assessment of the member is correct. There is a real reduction in the rural development program of 4.8% in 2015-2016. And this is largely driven by a reduction in the National Rural Youth Service Corps. In 2015-2016, and then over the MTS period for 16-17, 16-18, there is a recovery that has taken place. Now the reason for the reduction of this particular program is basically approved cost by the by cabinet with respect to the economic competitiveness package program.
Thank you very much for the responses, Grant. Honorable Chairman, I want to say matter first of the question.
Yeah.
It's a follow-up.
Well, first, this is the director of the CG. I very much appreciate your comment about the spread of the functions of the department in one area. But my closing comment of concern is that I think by the very nature of your operations, as well as the name of the department, a perception gets formed in the people's minds that you are best positioned to be the central institution that runs around the government. Transport will go in there for a couple of months during the infrastructure development, public works, expanded public works, we know that they are programs, those people are there for 8 months and then the jobs are gone. But if we're focusing on development of land, you know, owned by people, then you have got a better chance of factoring in an element of permanence in the development programs that they run. I think that's where this notion that you need, we expect your department to be the anchor, because everybody will do development in rural areas on land. So we still say link up with other departments and see how you can play that crucial role. It's not a negative criticism, it's intended to influence your thinking going forward. I've had interaction with all the departments that you talk about. I know they touch and go, they touch and go, they touch and go. Thanks for your attention.
Thank you for the comment of concern. Each and every day, you know, we learn new terms in the house, a point of order, point of privilege, point of before, point of efficiency, point of exit. And today we've got a comment for concern.
Thank you very much. Let me take this opportunity and thank the FFC for the presentation that they've made to the committee. I think we have noted some of the issues that you've raised. The committee will take them forward, because some of the issues that you've raised are the issues that have been also considered by the department that we need to reinforce, especially on the strengthening of the post-settlement support by both the Department of Rural Development and the Department of Agriculture, the coordination part, as you've also mentioned, and other issues that you have raised also with regards to the budget, especially on restitution after the reopening of the second phase of the lodgement of things. Thank you very much for the presentation. Can I therefore give this opportunity to the department, DG, to brief us on the third quarter report of the department?
Thank you.
I'm not sure whether FFC wanted to. Yes. Please, thank you very much. Thank you.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. We have got two reports for this period. One is the program performance report against the ACT, and the second one is the budget performance against the project. The CFO will start with the budget performance, and the CDG itself will talk through the program performance.
Okay. CFO?
Thank you, Chair, for joining us today.
Am I?
Outline of the presentation is the executive summary, the performance program, the economic classification, and the two entities, agricultural and holding account, and the participation trading account. Executive summary that the spending at the end of the first quarter is at 15.8%. Or 1.5 billion of the appropriation of the 9.4 billion. And we still have 7.9 billion to spend to year end. This is 9.2% under spending in terms of the linear target of 35% and or 881 million under spending. And the main contribution to the under spending is one rural development. With an understanding of 14.9% and the restitution understanding 12.4%. And these are both as households, which containing. However, we know that the budget speech of our ministry had significant changes that affected our APC. And that meant that we needed to do the vote and revise our project register. That had an impact in the implementation timing of the project that we have, and this understanding we see exactly on rural development. And restitution had a bit of challenges with regards to the quite a number of issues which we see when I present under their program what were the issues with them. But it's a concern because our goal is where the service delivery is, and I'm hoping that we will catch up now in the second quarter, which our July has already indicated that we will catch up the momentum. Compensation of employees, we have an understanding of 1.6%. It's not really correct, but we have got the vacancy rate of about 714 finance positions. More mainly from natural attrition. We not that it's a moving target, but also the vital conditions that do have create constraints if we have a world of vacant position in terms of performance. And our vacancy rate, of course, is at 14.7%, which is above what is the allowed vacancy rate by the GPSA, which is 10%. And this is just a summary of the vacancy rate that I was talking about, which is 14% vacancy rate I was talking about, and how it spreads through the different programs. And I think I would have loved that if the issue had still been here, because this is where the constraints you see on the restitution, where they are sitting at about 3.4% vacancy rate. And mostly for them is because they are not funded well. The reopening has created so much demand for additional capacity for them to be able to carry out the mandate for which they have been allocated. And you also see the same on land reform, which is sitting at 60%. This has put an effect on our ability to form community. The first quarter, what we have done is to try and to compare how did we perform in the previous financial year quarter and how does it differ to the current quarter. And the first issue is to see that there has been an increase in the budget and if we compare it to last year. But last year we had spent, I think, 2.1 billion. Compared to this year, which is 1.4 billion, as I said when I was talking about the bit of a concern. And the most important issue is to see that the decline in spending is mostly at, again, those programs that are at the center of service delivery, and it's at the same household level. But in terms of the comparison, we're not doing well if we were to compare to the previous year quarter. And again, the issue that I've raised is that we have to change the project registers. At the time, we're supposed to be doing implementation and monitoring and evaluation. That has really had a negative impact. The summary step branch, in terms of the spending, we've got administration sitting at 19.8%, it's 5.2% below the linear target. It's also not well. The NGMS and social and industrial services, they are sitting at 17.5%, and rural development is at 10.1%, and you can see the yield is sitting at 6.2%. Which is the first program of rural development. And that's where we support the rural enterprise and industrial development, mm-hmm. which is where we should be creating jobs, we should be supporting the rural industrial economy. Restitution is at 4.6%, it's also a bit concerning, and land reform was sitting at 20.7%. Economic classification, you can see compensation 22.1%, goods and services 16.9%. There is a correlation between goods and services and the household. So you will see that household is low, so therefore also goods and services will be around the goods and services of the administration part of what we do. We would push any goods and services to be higher than the household. Interest on land, we have not paid anything this year. We have not had any financial notice so far of the tenants for financial assets. Departmental agencies, that those are the transfers we make to ALA and to Bonyama Trust, which is 23.5%, and household, which is again, we have seen that since we started, we are sitting at 7.4%. And the provincial and local government will be sitting at 4.6% of the surveys and cases, and more so because there is not that good alignment between the budget expenditure on the basis that most of the properties are buried and fixed for being paid by GPW, and therefore there's not much allocation that comes to the department. Yes, we have a bigger portfolio of the assets. And in summary, we're sitting at 15.8%, which is quite below the 25% with a better performance in the first quarter. Administration, 93.6% went to the compensation of our employees, and goods and services, 67.7%. And in total, we at 76.8%, that's in terms of the total. Linear targets, we are at 5.2% understanding, mainly due to COE, which we are sitting at 9.5% vacancy rate, and the timing factor of our expenditure in terms of the travel payment, taking into account the invoicing that is a bit of the time lag from the service provider. Geospatial and cadastral services, in terms of growing the receipts of 84.1% and 91.6% went into their salaries, 69.4% into goods and services, and household is 124.1%, which is mainly at our slum program through the implementation of the SLUMA. And 7.5% underperformance in terms of the linear target, and mostly is the payment for gatherings such has not been made in terms of when we thought we would take them in the first quarter, but we were delayed. The chances is to augment the support budget for Ikadastra that we have not yet transferred because the project itself is on hold. And a commitment for consultants that has not been paid yet because of the expenditure. They are still the performance that has not been translated into expenditure because they are still waiting, they have not invoiced yet. So there was that time where we thought the invoices would come during the first quarter, but they did not come in the first quarter. Rural development, in terms of the linear targets, they are 6.1%, and in terms of the loan, they are 6.1%. I've spoken a lot about the World Agri Park, they moved from 27 to 44, and the replanting has negatively affected how the wood has rather performed in the first quarter. In the consultation is 1.5%, and I think here this is where we still are developing a policy on job creation because part of what is sitting there is not what is supposed to be sitting there, but 5 million does not belong to them. It's when we create jobs in the rural economies, that because we don't have a job creation policy yet, we are not able to allocate it under our board. But as soon as that is the policy is finalized and approved, we will be able to move. I'm stressing that because it looks like they're not covering their own budget, which is not really the case. Although it's really it's the case, but overall, as rural development, the solution is a challenge. And the household is 7.3%, that's about 18% or below the linear target. The 14.9% linear target difference is due to the realignment of the project register. The performance target to incorporate the other part. And the SLA that we will see is the revising on the release. for some of the projects that we do under the lead are carried out by our partners in the government agency sphere, which we should then enter into as we do this. And the SOIT, which is the NAFTEC program that we are running, the other training allows for the training. That's really a timing factor of the invoicing from the college where we have spent the young country that didn't flow in as he had budgeted, so you see that the disparity between the expenditure and the budget. But second quarter we started receiving those projects which we have. Restitution, 96% in terms of the growing, 96.5% goes to COE, goods and services, 81.6%, and provincial and local government, 944%. And those are the tests and fixes on the properties that we have acquired, but due to lack of entities like CPA who would transfer these properties to. Either due to the fact that they are self-functions or whatever, these assets are kept in our register until we finish the project. So normally we would not have a budget for that, and hence you see that it's 944% which we have to pay. Our 26.4% is quite low, and machinery and equipment 248%, and we've got this the reopening. We have to get some equipment and but in terms of the full year budget, we have not exhausted that. So you see the time factor coming in. And then the subsidy is 48,250. Those are the properties that we have acquired but we have not transferred to the communities at year. And overall, on growing to 44.3%, and 12.6% in terms of year to date. These are the reasons for the restitution variances. The delays in the approval of 42 submissions due to processes. Transfer of properties to state instead of CPAs due to community disputes. Delays in finalizing the transfer of properties due to conveyancing issues. The new systems of appointing conveyancing through SPM processes, we are currently discussing other approaches on this one. Slow pace of appointing a panel of successors for claims lodged after the CPM of goods and services and the rollout of mobile units will delay. Land reform, there is 79.8% in terms of the growing, and year to date 20.7%, and household is at 19.1%, and departmental agency is 100.4% for the transfer to our institution. And again, you see the provincial and local government at quite a huge variance to vintage then. The disparity of the budget that has also about on the portfolio of properties that we have in our books. The variance of 4.3% is on household grant, the realignment of this project to other tasks. Again, the speech has an impact here because we have to now reduce the budget for the land acquisition to augment the recapitalization. So that we have the 1 billion on retail and the other 1 billion coming from rural development. We have to then go back and replan and strategize and not just recap wherever we wanted to recap, but strategically to support the agriculture. And we have the variance. You will see that the variance, although here it looks smaller, because the transfer is an impact on the percentage. The higher impact was sitting on our trading accounts that carried out this money to prepay and lend acquisition, which is the other trading account. on goods and services are dealing with Korea allowing the GMP to take care of the agriculture, to delay submission for quotations. We have an issue with delaying the submission of quotations and service providers. These are some of the personal issues, but they do have an impact on the expenditure. Then on our trading account, agricultural land holding.
What is the GMP?
Demand management plan. Mm-hmm. That has support to the Ministry of Treasury by the 50th of April. Yes, I do, because I know you know the Treasury and the Ministry of Treasury.
But in most cases, when you use the acronyms, I think there should be a footnote that explains that.
And not change cases in the only agricultural landholding at the end of the quarter, we had 105.9 million, representing just 6.9% of the annual appreciation, but 4.5 million. And that consisted mainly of the land acquisition, which was 62.2 million, or representing 7.3% of the budget. And the recapitalization and development spending of 85.1 million, which represented 5.2 million of the annual budget. And the planning, which was 8.5 million, representing 2.4%. Again, the replanning has affected our ability to be able to spend financially, because this is where the recap of those funds in and around the other tax, the target is lying here. So we have to go back and replan. And the consolidated position of the ALA entities from its provincial perspective, you will see that we were the performance overall at 69%, ranging from 1.7% in Western Cape, the lowest, second lowest is 0.3%, in Northwest 0.2%. So the change has really negatively affected on us and our ability to deliver on the management. Unlike in the department where we are expenditure based, they are revenue based. but however they have collected 1.7 million, they have projected that at the end of the year they will be able to collect 785.6 million, and the department is a grant of 15.9 million to augment their budget on COE. They spent 114.8 million of what they were given for what they have collected, representing 70% against the budget of 782.7 million. They have a federal fund balance of 62.9 million. Mostly it's just due to timing and on the expenditure part, due to timing of the invoices for services that have been rendered. The Ikadastra project, the grant amount of 103.6 million was for operational costs. We have not transferred that. And I think I spoke about it when I was looking at program two above. And the balance of 81.5 million is the balance of what the previous years and the grant. We must just stress that the project itself is still on hold, and therefore the spending that is currently going on is the COE and a few other things that we are still doing. And the spending to date amounted to 10.4 million, or 7% of the total projected spending of 166.2 million. It's mostly for compensation of employees, which is 4.2 million, representing 25% of the spending. Goods and services, which is 6.2 million, representing a total projected expenditure of 168.8 million. This is really fully funded from the department's appropriation. And the expenditure versus the office of this is for the lead office. You can see that there are those offices that are on red, the one for Bloemfontein, Kimberley, Friday, Williamstown, Amchata, and North Street. This is the reason why we augment their budget, is to be able to sustain the offices that are not generating sufficient revenue to cover for their expenditure. And the Ikadastra project, there is the unspent fund from prior year, and what we thought would give them this year 103 million, is a total of 155 million. And how they want to spend it, the COE is budgeted for 17.4, moving services 138.7 million, and the total is 166.2, leaving them with a surplus of 18.9. That is in terms of the budget. But if we go to the actual, you see that the compensation is 4.2 and 6.1 on the goods and services, and that 10 million translating to just 7%. It might actually will remain like this for most of the year because of the fact that we watched the project itself.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, can we make a second presentation then that you can give, so that you align the performance with in line with the financial performance. Honorable member.
Thank you. I want to support that suggestion, but propose that we have read the document. We do not need the over and elaborate. Just 5-10 minutes. Well, in the, every 5 minutes, it seems linked. When it links the second time, it should be finished.
Over to you, Mr. Sophie.
Thank you.
based on the presentation, but you have agreed that then let them finish both, then ask questions on both presentations.
Oh, that's my challenge.
That's a much easier look. That's okay.
I'll go briefly through the presentation. I think what I the first few slides is almost giving outline of our program, obviously the five programs. The second one deals with the legends we use in terms of evaluation performance of the various programs in the remarkable. We thank you for 94 overall in terms of basically achieved 14% of the targets that were, or 14 of the targets that were set for quarter one, but it was 14 targets that were set. And they achieved 33%. Just a graphical display, another one to explain. 33% of the targets achieved, 90% partially achieved, and 48% that were not achieved at all, 48%. The interesting slide 6, which correlates as far as the FFT was in and the presentation of the CFO, where we tracked our quarter one performance of the last four performance cycles. And you'll see that we gained that 2012-2013 a significant improvement in 2014 and 2015. And then in 2016 we tended to have a sort of what we call a better performance. But you'll provide explanation as we go through together. In terms of program one, the CFO indicated that the organization of 8% provided an explanation for that. The last column is the one where the interventions come into play that I will focus on, where all the branches have been required to put in place expenditure improvement plans, and that these plans now will be monitored by a committee that's chaired by the CFO, and which the program branch managers are required to do on a monthly basis. So that's the intervention there to ensure that we improve our financial performance. When we go to the invoices paid, we were supposed to pay 100% of our invoices paid in quarter one. That wasn't stipulated, that's at 81%. The financial office has put in place an intervention. The nodal point, the receipt of all invoices, because that was a problem, invoices were entering the department of various points, and so just being able to process in them there at that time, and then continue to engage with service providers was still a problem, that they continue to change their banking accounts and banking details, and we continue to engage with them now to make sure that they have the correct banking details on the system. Quite a process to change your bank account details on the system. They would involve treasury as well. The implementation of an invoice tracking system, we in the final stages, we text it at the project moment, and the project plan with regard to that, we have an electronic tracking system for invoices, which will be finalized by end of September, in stages and done in the department by October of this year. In terms of the facilitators finalized, we have a problem. Because we tend to take long to finalize the discipline. So the intervention has been a circular first thing, and then a tracking system so that line managers and design officers are in terms of when they set the cases and the timeline of those cases are being completed. Vacancy falls within 120 days. This is both these figures are the new indicators because they directly impact on service delivery. The first one, the second one, impact on basically budget expenditure. And we now are also hoping, and we've gone out and tender to get an electronic recruitment and selection system on board, so that we can basically better track the performance of line managers with regard to the filling of their vacancies. I think the previous slide showed that we had 714 vacancies, but we've obviously found that they've already been advertised. So we want to make sure that we put in better control mechanisms to the frontline managers to hold it up. The next two network uptime we achieved, the number of media assessment reports we achieved. The next one is the financing model to be approved for the chief financial director, but it is waiting approval. one, we're 43% of our target that has been achieved. When we go to program two, which is geospatial and cadastral services, this is where we find the location also with Puma. As we all know, that the legislation has been enacted, and we've been implementing that. Key around this one is to support our municipalities throughout the country with the implementation of the legislation. The difficulty here, if we can just give a macro picture, is basically the readiness again of the municipalities to take on board the legislation, and we then do an assessment in terms of that support. When the legislation was enacted in July, only one municipality was ready to start with it. So we, with all the other three components and the branches of the system, then ANC will find targets not achieved with all of the items and provide the reasons, and we see that we the consultation will be undertaken with the main municipalities from time, compliance assessment and the impact of the legislation. That's basically common to our answers. And then we go to slide, I think, 15, where we deal with a number of district and rural development plans, target not achieved. And the challenge is that with the order number creation, we've been on board the service providers, as indicated previously by comment of one of the honorable ROs, facilitating how order makes these things. And so we need to assist, and we're finally needing to assist both provincial governments and our municipalities to actually put in place the development plans in the rural space. And so we have to bring on board service providers because we just don't have enough internal resources to do this. And that there was a problem with that. We go then to the next target was the chief number supporter to develop provincial SDF. That was done. And then number of state and facility survey partially achieved. The Surveyor General indicating that we have a lack of funds. It's quite an intensive budget, so you basically have to have sufficient money, and we all know that our budget was cut quite significantly in the current financial year. These documents registered 249,000, so we've exceeded the target by 16,000. When we go to these made available within 7 days from lodgement to execution, we had a target of 95% that we only achieved 57% stock of these offices. We do have a problem with stock capacity in these offices at this particular stage, but we also have a problem with regard to the high volume of lodgements that we receive. And so you have to look at the allocation of resources. When you sell down into provincial ones, we saw that the problems they put in battle with the reallocation of resources within the these offices, you have to move stock around. And you can't just move any staff members around. You basically have to have people that are not involved in the legislation. They have put an intervention plan, and we are hopeful that it will be improved in the coming quarter. That's the next two targets were achieved, so I don't have to go into that. When we do another set of solution models in terms of the cadastral, this is the e-cadastral system. I think it's common knowledge that we have the FIA investigation as the subject of a court matter in particular state, so this target was not achieved. And we'll only be able to proceed with it once we get the legal direction. The FIU basically is that next time we proceed with the test, but we don't compromise the court challenges and the test of the court. 46% achievement in GAD program 2. Then we go to one that, and this one correlates with the CFO was talking about the under expenditure, and the department is mainly driven by this particular department, and you'll see a number of projects within the community, production, enforcement, and food security. The new indicator, as we mentioned, the five projects to be delivered in light of possible carry-through projects, they were even not aligned to the new indicating promises. This has subsequently been done, and we've seen that the project has taken off. If you go to the next slide, the number of A, B, and P will be partially achieved. Delays in the appointment of service providers in some instances lead to target not future, and
night.
Refers to the project approval committee. They also part of that they appointed the strategic partner. Sorry, Chief, this is our moment. So, the number of rural enterprises supported in rural development is a special focus on the 27 district municipalities. You'll see also not achieved. A number of issues related to the target not being achieved throughout the country in various provinces. A whole lot of the interventions that were put in place in the last quarter have brought a lot of the things back on track. We had a briefing on progress on Monday with regard to the project lead indicator as well. So the branch has developed a turnaround strategy. They have also had meetings with supply chain management and CFO media to identify challenges and contract procurement. And then they've had three project approval committee meetings in quarter one to approve project implementation. So those have all taken off. We're hoping to see improved expenditure in months at the end of August and at the end of September, because if you look at our top, that's how we're tracking the delivery of the project indicator. And the number of skill development opportunities, these were all achieved. I'm going to skip these when I go to 50% of the target that we're getting in this particular program, three have been achieved for quarter one. In terms of execution, it doesn't look that good. When we go into it, they've basically got 0% achievement of their target for quarter one. And they've indicated and highlighted the need to improve their project management capability to clearly monitor workflow so that they can better track progress and improve the planning that particular component. We have assisted them from our project management office with improving their project management capability and also making sure that they keep track of the project performance. If I go throughout this, you'll also see that in terms of number of claims lodged by 1998 that had to be researched, they had a target of 572 and they achieved 195. The interventions are the ones that we need to focus on. It has completed the vetting process of the research reports received between 29 and 30 June. That will significantly improve the target. The national research unit needs to conduct more of the regional visits because that was identified as a blockage. So that offices dealing with complex claims such as KwaZulu-Natal and Popo and Mpumalanga and Eastern Cape increase their capacity in the research unit. And then the appointment of the service provider to conduct research on complex claims has been centralized in the national office. An appointment process that we are hoping to conclude with that procurement process by the 31st of August 2015. Then in terms of the lodgement offices, the two delaying vehicles, there was a delay in licensing of those vehicles. That was concluded in July, at the end of July, and the units are now fully functional, but they could not conclude that one. And as I indicated, no percentage was not expected for quarter one at the official emergency. Then in terms of land reform, the land redistribution and development branch, the hectares acquired, again, that has to go back to the drawing board and try to present the plans that have initially been approved. Given the focus on agriculture. And so they're looking at improving the turnaround time. We have quite a few internal structures through which a acquisition and a recap, if you go to the recap program as well, so on, they have to go through a number of internal, what we call control structures that are required both for internal control, but auditor general and from a governance perspective, and in terms of a consultation perspective for us. And so they're looking at streamlining and improving that. And we're also looking at what we call process mapping the process. So we're bringing on board a service provider. And as I talk to you now, they're sitting with the project provider through the potential service provider to then bring on board to assist us with process mapping all the processes in the project component. So that will deal with that indicator and the next one through the turnaround time. And it deals with the next one as well. So basically, I hoping that the process mapping we will can see where the blockages are, where there's duplication, and then streamline the process so that we don't unnecessarily delay the processes internally. When we go to number of farms under the recap and development program, the compliance wasn't that the answer. And so there's an insistence, I think, both from the financial control perspective, to improve our financial expenditure, basically, to ensure that we comply with that. Critical, because in terms of your recap, the business plan to go with it, if you do not align yourself to that, you miss the plant you look at, you can, and then need to delay that can have dire consequences on actually the sustainability of the project. And then the reconciliation of one of your systems to the service provider, so there seems to be a huge problem with that, that affects about the audit system and not the internal audit components as well. And then we go to a number of farms under recap and development, or the recap program, allocated to smallholder farms, also not achieved. The target could have been achieved, but the technical indicator that we had aligned to our APG requires that the memo in which it was approved must be in the same quarter in which you actually allocated. So there's not alignment between the technical indicator descriptor and the actual delivery. So we're trying to improve that, and we're meeting with the DKE and National Trade Council Friday to see how we can correct that anomaly in our ATP technical campaign. But it was achieved in that particular quarter, it's just we could not record it as such because of the non-alignment between the two documents. 40% of the target in that reform was basically achieved at the technical quarter. We go to LCA. I think 0% of the target was 20% of the target, which was the last one we checked, was achieved. But in terms of CTAs, again, we're finding that the branch in particular is not fully understanding what is required in terms of the portfolio of evidence when it comes to the technical indicator descriptor. And this is a consultative process where when you define your technical indicator descriptor, you have to make sure that it aligns with the target. So even though they might have done work with regard to CPA, we cannot accept it as evidence because if a technical indicator descriptor says you need to submit minutes of meetings and you don't have minutes of those meetings, I cannot accept that as evidence that you've actually achieved the target. So the first two you'll see that we try to sort that out with them and with Treasury and with CPA. And then in terms of the chunker areas, the target was not achieved, and we basically having to consult and are planning a workshop with provinces that will be facilitated by the legal services component and corporate support services to make sure that we can fast track and get a handle on the transfer of the transfer project. The number of state and parcels concerned affected, the target was also not achieved. The basically wanted to review it with the provinces, so that we align performance and assure provinces delivering the target that has been fixed. Northwest has also appointed additional staff who will work on the vesting applications that are under staff, and the Limpopo will focus on properties that actually do not require surveying while addressing the surveying issue, because that was identified as one of the problems, and they're aiming with the surveyor general so that they can deal with the surveying issue in these provinces. And then the next one was the completely provable asset register policy. We're at 20% of the target, and we look at the overall program size, we see 20% achievement of the targets that we plan for in 2021. The last slide deals with the summary of the performance over the caution of the 50% and the rating the overachievement issue indicated as it was needed. Thank you, Chester.
Thank you very much, Mr. Associate Member, for the very good presentation. Can we talk to the presentation? But let me start by commenting that the overall is that there's underperformance as compared to the previous financial years. And also the spending in the first quarter, which is at 15%. Is not in line with the treasury regulation. We are aware that the PFMA doesn't allow any over and under spending. Although there's a certain percentage in the shifting of funds from one program to another, but also there are rules and regulations that we must follow before doing that. you know, when the department fails to spend the first quarter, then you start spending at the last quarter. To us, it seems as if it's a fiscal something, because at that stage, towards the end of the financial year, so we expect the department to comply and spend accordingly. You know, in the first quarter, because the planning has been done before, the spending should be 25% as per treasury regulation. But you know, my worry is that thing of, you know, the reason is replanning. Then it gives us a concern, because it means that if you keep on replanning on the other side, the committee is having the old plan. Because we think that the plan that has been submitted to us is the plan that the department is following. So if on other programs they're saying no, it's been delayed because of the replanning, then we start to ask ourselves, what is this replanning all about? So it should make our work of oversight very much difficult. Honorable Mana? Honorable Matasha? Honorable Mugudi?
Something wrong. Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much. You have covered me a lot. There are these provinces that allow overspend, and yet people are suffering less or less on the ground. Chairperson has covered me. And that they are not in line with the rules and regulations. And now, how do you deal with this? Can you tell us how are we going to deal with this issue? Because others don't even spend. Secondly, I agree with the Southgate and Lambert restitution. It really doesn't look good. You can't have a situation where KZN and the CNT are selling a car. When are you going to finish up this game? Because there's this process of success. When are you going to? Because now, when we were there in KZN, and they were still waiting for the truck from the CNT. It's not good at all. Thank you very much.
I just want to say I'm shaking because in the last 3 years we were doing very well, and suddenly we are not doing well, and we were doing well without the CFO.
The sun.
summary given by the FSP, UK Health Department, sums up everything. You could present for another 2 days if you wish, presenting a quarter, volumes and volumes of work. But the summary and image, one word, 16%. In the strictest sense of the law, it's the executive that accounts to Parliament. The DG and the DGs are thinking very much so clear of that. But in the circumstances, we then it's the departmental performance. There was an earlier statement that CFO made. I don't know if you saw me looking at you. I will reserve it for now. It's not a personal issue, CFO. So it's been that it was then part of the logical explanation. But I'll leave it for now. But the 16% DG, I think let us be clear, it's unacceptable. Unacceptable. I would like to be friends, brother, relatives, cousin, everything with you, but certainly, if a part of that cousin, which is my wish, would be based on accepting the underperformance and non-performance, definitely, then let it go. Let it go. I would wish I was in my better mood of my previous years and oversight, so that people must have would be sure. It can't be nice. It can't be nice. 16 is unacceptable, simply unacceptable. I respect the integrity of yourselves as officials, but I respected the integrity of Mr. Southgate one day under pressure, but still conceding that the acceptable norm is a 2% variance. The acceptable norm is a 2% variance. The over or under expenditure, you know. We just want to ask, Chair, open this discussion or this question session now, after the presentation, on somewhat a similar note, but it can't be business as usual. With 16%, we only expect 25 on a linear projection. It's unacceptable, simply unacceptable. And if anyone feels any way in this world that is acceptable, I will accept the consequences for saying this truth. It's unacceptable, simply. I just want to emphasize it. And when you heard me say, Chair, that we have read the document, no long presentation, because that's where the back stops. It stops there. I believe he's retired now. You can no longer say we're asking irrelevant questions. I think you'd be so impressed because the issue is that under expenditure. Then, Chair, you raised an issue which I want to formally support about. Then there will have to be a revision this year. There will have to be a revision to state how it's going to be, how do we revise such that expenditure is going to be caught up on. Shall we request, friendly Chair, through you that revision be provided to the committee, even if when we next meet we deal with something else, just to speculate that 3 pages or 5 pages on how to catch up with the expenditure that was unspent in the first quarter. It compromises us big time because you see people like the FSC Chair. These people, they then recommend budgets. They're looking at the overall finance of portfolio space, of the fiscal play of government. They easily do pick up from where the flow expenses are trend to where the money is needed most. Maybe how can you told you whatever, I'm just making a wide example, you know. So it compromises the portfolio of the rural people. Let's also make a comment that if the household, CFO, you are right, and I thank your integrity to point it back, It's the household that lose most. Now, in other words, it's us, the spies, who lose most, because that's what we represent essentially. We don't represent paper shredders, air conditioners in the office, and the new offices. We don't represent. We represent households, the people. And clearly, from your report, it's the household where there has been most other expenditure. So let me go over to the extra amendment issue. When you presented the legislative whatever program, you told us that by June you would give us the extra, because we must act on it. Yeah, not just to initiate, but to then process and adopt it for us. Now, you are keeping us idling, unfailing, absolutely unfailing, and wrongfully so. I know you might argue that also your principals on the other side are responsible for it, but who will represent all our parties? Need Parliament and respect Parliament, all our parties, if we are multi-party in the committee. And therefore, the extra extension of the Security of Kenya Act amendment, we need it. We must then protect it. We demand now, we do not persuade, we demand that we expect it here. And I do not mind that you didn't talk about it in what you presented, but we are aware you should have given it to us by June. The invoices. We suggest that you give us by next week, 7 days from now. I do not imagine there will be a meeting, committee meeting, particularly via the chair and the committee secretary, an analytical diagnostics of the unpaid invoices. I see the narrative, but we need a diagnostics. This is the total number of invoices received. They were, for argument's sake, 75. They were amounting to this. You can categorize and classify them, and then you can tell us those where the tax certificate had lapsed, how many, what percentage this does. Just give us the diagnostics of these unpaid invoices. Again, we protect the household. The emerging business, the small business, I use the word business cautiously. But yet, those emerging traders are affected most by unpaid invoices. And that is it. On the former, thanks for the graphical, but it's not complete. I insist again. I'm available on any 3 day, maybe on any Friday, to come teach you. You can convene your top management. I can do a workshop, just a 30-minute workshop, on the graphical thing that we need. If that's a graph that says these are the projections, it shows, even per month, per quarter, there's a graph in blue. There's a graph that then says these are the actual. It then shows either over, under, at a certain point, it's 5 cents. That's all on top of the butter. The butter and the pie chart, Mr. Patrick, they write that you presented. But also give us that chart where it shows the projection and then versus the actual. We want to work on it. It's much better than a narrative. You know, it's much better than a narrative. It simplifies. Senior politicians were not elected on the basis of degrees. We elected on the basis of our love for the people and our constituencies. Simplify the thing for us. Demystify. Good enough. No amount of academic jargon can be beyond our some of us, our level of apprehension. But please simplify it. Thank you very much.
Honourable members, we can talk for the whole day and the whole night, but you have reflected on the weaknesses or the challenges or the issues that the department have to attend to. We have noted, we agree that there's a decrease in the spending which is linked to the underperformance of the department in the first quarter. The department can respond to some of the issues, but I hope that there's a plan that you have developed to address the issues. You have flagged some of the issues red, some of the issues yellow, then some of the issues green. So hoping that after this meeting we'll focus at the yellow one so that by the end of the quarter we've been able to achieve those, and also the red one. We don't need a robot like a, you know, report. It can be, we'll appreciate to get the green and yellow because it will mean that we are doing something. There's something that is in progress. But I don't believe that we'll be able now to highlight the plans on each and every challenges that you've highlighted on the report. But the plan must be presented to this committee so that we'll be able to make a follow-up on the implementation. When we are dealing with the second quarter, DG will be considering on the improvement. We want to see the improvement on based on as compared to the report that we have received now for the first quarter. We know that when working we've got challenges, but challenges need to be addressed. And at the end of the day we must make sure that people on the ground don't suffer. And the other thing is that if there are any changes in the plan, I think the committee must be informed about those changes. You know, when looking at the understanding in restitution, then you start to ask yourself, how can you engage the treasury that we need money, we've got backlogs, we've got, you know, these unfinalized, certain claims not finalized, but we fail to spend the allocation for the quota that has been allocated to us. The treasury will not be convinced that we can be able, even if we can be given billions and billions. But, you know, we need to start, you know, by implementing this quarterly amount that has been allocated in each and every program. We need to make sure that we consider those we spend as expected so that at the end of the day, when we are saying we need extra additional funds, we may need, when they look at the documents, they can see that we've been able to spend. There's an alignment between the spending and the performance, because we will not appreciate seeing the spending while the performance is low. Spending 100%, performing at 80 or 40%. This must be, you know, they must align to each other. We must make sure that we comply to the PFMA, you know. This over, the other percentage, what kind of a percentage is that one? You know, now the Honorable Ngun, this department was able to. You know, the percentage that I'm seeing now of 1,000, I don't know what is 11,000, what is 12,000, I'm asking myself, what percentage is that? In what amount is that, you know, on overspending? So I think we need to start addressing those issues. All the other issues, I think they will be highlighted in the plan of the department. And also, how are you going to improve on those so that when we are dealing with the second quarter, we must make sure and check whether there's progress or not. But nevertheless, the bottom line is we are not happy about the performance. I think we request the officials from the department to pull up, you know, because already in the department we don't have an old age home. You know, if you reach that retirement age, you get a pension, you go home and relax. All those people who are there are people who are energetic and people who are willing to serve the nation. Honorable members, I don't know whether. I think that's a lot more cool. So, nevertheless, DJ, I think the plan is going to assist on the performance of the department in this first quarter. Anything that you want to say before we move on with this item?
We want to make a, I don't know whether we want to continue the committee, that going forward, I think we should even have people from internal audit, because they are the ones who are going to pick this thing before they even get to where they are now. So that, because part of our work is to say, what is this that we can do to assist? It's not just to play an oversight role. It means assisting, coaching here and there. And yeah, you know.
Thank you very much, Honourable Member. Can I move to the next item? DG, thank you very much for your presentation. And I hope that when meeting, considering the second report, the second quarter report, there will be some improvement. Thank you very much. Don't you have a question? Let's consider the minutes, members of the 12th of August 2015. Page one of the minutes. Page two of the minutes. I think on page two of the minutes, the training, the spelling for training, I think there's H somewhere there. And also on item number 5.4E, it delays in the court processes. Because as it said, the committee expressed concern regarding the case. It's not clear. Any other matter on page two? Yes.
Okay.
On page 3, 6.3, the committee questioned why the department will suggest. It's not the department question. Then the other one, on the ring for smart. I think we have the minutes actually indicated that there are interventions in place to address the issue of the Rama CPA and also the reinforcement, the DG, the negotiations between the two DGs with regards to the reinforcement issue. Something must be highlighted in the minutes. Any other mentions, three? Page 4, 9.2. The last line specify the type of training. Can I get the number for the adoption of the
minute? Oh, move with it. With the adoption of the just the cleansing of the committee, sometimes small letter, sometimes larger. Let's tell you some of the plot as the spelling on the writing of the committee. Sometimes it's small letter, sometimes capital letter. So let's have to clear. Would that chair move for the adoption?
The amendment. Honorable Ngoli moves for the adoption and second. Honorable Magaja second. Matters arising, Honorable Member. Honorable Ngoli.
Oh, no, sir. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
The thing is not working. Thank you, sir. No, it was a visit to Rama. It's a matter arising, then it can be kept pending, chair, the matter arising. And the last one was the matter arising was quite tender, the job workshop. I suppose also it was postponed, it can be extended item. Held over. Thank you.
I think that one of the committee visiting Rama just been noticed. I think from the assist us with the date after looking at the committee program. The other one of Ngumla will talk on that one. Honourable members, can we proceed to the next item, the consideration of the draft oversight report? The report was circulated last week to all the members to go through the report and make recommendations so that we move towards the adoption of this committee report. I hope and believe that all members have read the report, have made the recommendation. Can they assist us? Honourable members?
Shall I suggest that request a little further extension and that invite and share that the health members should also have opportunity to apply their minds to the logistics issues as well. The experiences in Queenstown, this and that, and so on. That's where we need to, as well, really, the content of the report, but also the logistics, because there's still going to be more field work doing this. So the logistics issue has got to be settled in a certain common understanding. The other one, logistical evaluation, so that you can see how best you can improve this.
Okay. I'm making a proposal on the members that let us exchange the department so that we have our own internal matters to discuss here. But, I'm sorry. Honorable Mshabeleng, yo. Osin de Putinala Makuma la Angama, Angama, the new DA. DG, can you introduce the. Mr. Song, can you show over to you? Thank you very much for the introduction. You're welcome, Mr. Somwani. The Portfolio Committee on Rural Development and Land Reform welcomes you. DG, thank you very much. Maybe before you leave, Tumla, can you make announcements that are related to the department, if there are any?
Thank you, Chair. We'll only have the meeting on the week of the 5th. We won't have meeting next week, and we will be finalizing the first quarter report, ICP and the Commission. But be informed that the AG will be here as well. On the 5th.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, if we can stretch ourselves for 2 minutes, stretching break for 5 minutes, then we come back and take a decision on the report, because we have to consider this draft before we apply for the next oversight, because if the report has not been adopted, means that we're not going to have the oversight from the 11th up to the 24th of September. So, members, let us be careful. 5 minutes break to come and take a decision. Thank you.
Look at the agenda and we will decide when are we going to adopt the court.